What is going on, guys? This is Gene Jensen, and it is absolutely time for another Friday Night Live. What is up? What is up, man? We have got a special FNL for you tonight. We are we're going to talk with the designer of the new Bonafide PWR 129 or Power 129, Mr. Hans Newtz, and it's going to be a lot of fun. This is a boat that they literally just announced yesterday, and we will get into all the dirty details, let you guys ask all the questions you want about this new kayak and stuff like that. But first of all, I want to talk to you about a few things. My guide service is still going on. You can sign up for that. You can jump in on that for through Fishing Chaos. I guide the 1st through the 10th of every month on a trophy lake right down the road from my house here in Rome, Georgia. And dude, it's going to be a blast. And then once they get these boats started rocking and rolling, I'm going to rig up a second one for my clients so you guys can try those out. But anyway, so that's the main stuff. We've got a couple of KBF tournaments coming up, one in October, which is the championship for Trail Challenge Series, and then the 10 Invitational, and then the 10's going to happen. That's in October, and November is going to be the Knucklehead Series. So be sure to follow along with all that stuff. It's going to be a whole lot of fun, and there's going to be opportunities for you guys to get in on the Knucklehead Championship in November as well. So stay, keep an eye on Chad Hoover's Facebook page for that. All right. Without further ado, I want to introduce the designer of most of the Bonafide kayaks, Mr. Hans Newtz. Hans, hey, how you doing, brother?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. So I want to talk a little bit about history. I mean, most people don't, and I didn't talk to you about this at the beginning or before the show started, but what kayaks on the market have you designed?
Oh wow, that's a good starter. Well, I'll say I go back to whitewater days. So I did start with some whitewater boats. The brand is Wavesport, and it sells in Europe now. But I did a couple of creek and river running boats. And then I did a play boat, which if you don't know what that means, it's like a tiny little boat. It's one you could throw in the back of your car, and it is meant for doing cartwheels and flips. And
it's like what Eric Jackson and them do championship in tournaments. Yeah. I got you.
So I started off there, fishing kayaks relevant. Let's see, going way back to, the Ride X,
yep,
which was a Wilderness Systems. That was actually worked with Chad on that a little bit. And then I did the Attacks, the Attack 140, the Attack 120. And those were a lot of fun. Those were a lot of fun to work on. Lots of input from fishing crowd. I've done some in the Perception lineup. So yep. Perception, the Pescador Pros, Pilots, Pedal Drives, and then Bonafide. We started Bonafide in, I guess we launched it around, 2017, 2018? And yep. The SS-127 was the first one out for that. So I've done a lot of other boats in that process, but, some of them being rec, touring, you know, that kind of thing too. So
a lot of experience in doing this. Well, let me show everybody a picture of, let me pull it up, of the new boat real quick. So this is the Bonafide PWR 119. And what I want to do with Hans is I want to go through it. And you guys that are on here, how many people we got? We got 96 on here. What I want to do is I want you guys to ask questions, especially you guys who are all into kayaks anyway. But we're going to go through it bow to stern, up to up, down, left, right. I'm going to ask questions. I want you guys to ask questions, and we're going to dive into the dirty details of this boat so you guys can know exactly what it is you're getting. Now, the first thing I want to talk about before we dive into the boat is, one, when is this going to be available?
Yep. So it is due to ship November 1st. That's our schedule. That's our plan.
Okay.
Looks like we're going to be able to hit that. Yeah.
Oh, that should be awesome. Then we were talking offline. We were talking about the mold just showed up. So you've got the mold. Dude, he said it was beautiful. And I've seen him look at getting, when he first got a mold once, I can't remember what boat it was, the amount of work he had to put into it to make it right. You said this one is just,
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. I'm so excited on this one. So it's going to be really cool.
So let's go through the design process. So this started what, 2 years ago when you came back to Bonafide?
Yep. You know, a lot of these things, they're on the drawing board for me for quite some time. So yep. I've tried in many ways to sort of move this one forward. And when I got back, this was one that I started working on in the background, and I've been working on it for quite some time.
Yep.
And with input from the team and you and sometimes it takes a little bit of time to get there, but we finally got there with this one.
Yeah. I went to Hans a couple of years ago and I was like, dude, we have got to make a boat that is designed for motors, be it bow or stern or whatever, just that is more easily rigged with motors. And that's, and he said, I'm already thinking about it. So I was like, okay, let's, I had a lot of input in this. I know, a lot of we had a design team that we had put together, pulled from the pro staff, that we had our own separate little Facebook page, and everybody kept it secret, which I'm surprised. and it was really cool to see it come together, because Hans would come to us and post it up on the page, and we'd give our 2 cents worth, and I would try to destroy it every time he'd post up, because that's what I love to do anyway. But tell us a little bit more about the boat. You know, it's designed for motors, but.
Yeah. So it's, one of the cool things about motors is that you're still designing for efficiency with the hull, and it's a balance of efficiency and stability and maneuverability and all those things. Those are all balancing factors that go into it. And with Bonafide, and the fact that, I really went into this saying, look, I'm going to build a boat around motorization. But what's cool is that I this is my little soapbox, but I still like to paddle. I still like to be able to paddle a kayak.
Yep.
So even if something happens to your motor, let's say, or if you just you can buy this boat without a motor, you can still paddle this kayak. And so that is just core to kind of my philosophy on it, it's at its width. It's got a lot of capacity. It's going to carry all your gear, but it also paddles, and you can still buy this and paddle it and always add a motor at some other time.
Yeah. And we see that a lot where guys say, I got the money for the kayak. Let me go ahead and buy it, paddle it, fish out of it and everything else, and save my money for a motor down the road, which is great. Well, this is one that you can do that.
Absolutely.
And so, I mean, just looking at the hull alone and the little tweaks that you've made from the SS, this is not an SS hull. It's not an SS layout. It has a lot. It's like the SS and the RVR had a baby. it's got a little bit of the things I like about the RVR and a lot of the things I like about the SS, but then it's got its own things too, because we fixed a lot of the little nitpicky things that people didn't like, or that specifically I didn't like. Yep. And it's really cool. And that's kind of the stuff I want to go through. So let's start from the bow.
Yep.
and let's go through some of the things that we've got going on. We've got the original handle, so you guys didn't change the handle on it, which I love.
Let me say one thing too about the layout of the boat in general, is that it's a catamaran, it's a hybrid catamaran hull, mm-hmm. but I have been fishing out of an SS-127 for years and watching people and observing people fish out of a SS-127. And so even though this looks like an SS, this is a completely new hull that I have built for sort of a redistribution of how you use a boat with bow motors or stern motors and how you want to set weight. And it's also a different hull in the sense that the way that it pushes the water and then the way it returns the water. So that's a little bit like inside baseball stuff, but
yeah,
it is a, like as with the RVR, I learn a little bit each time and then I try to apply that. And so there's some really, I think when you see this thing, it's in these renderings, it may even look a little bit like an SS-127, but when you see it, you're going to be like, oh yeah, that's a totally different.
Yeah.
It's a totally different boat. So it's pretty exciting. I mean, there's rocker in this thing, and rocker is something that the SS doesn't really have. And so we can touch on some of that stuff in a bit, but
yeah, you notice that right away, just with this image, the rocker in it.
Yes.
You know, and that means it comes over the grass real good and you can paddle it over the mats, pull the motor. And yeah, that's the one thing I do not like about the SS is when I'm at Gunnersville trying to get through mats and Chad's son has video of me trying to do this is cutting through those mats.
Yep.
And so having that rocker anyway. All right. So we'll start from the beginning, start from the bow.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. So in the bow area, what I really was trying to do is I've got a tighter chop on the water line. So we're going to part the water and keep the boat tracking really nice up front. And then also we have the grab handle that comes from the SS-127. But what's different here is that I've added structure specifically for that bow mounted, the XI3 bow mount setup. We've added inserts, structure, and then it's a kind of a dead flat spot. And so that whole area on the bow, we still use a plate up there. And the reason we use a plate, it's an accessory plate. But the reason that we're going to do that is because I want to give you the best platform, the best structure long-term for using your boat.
Yeah. So, a plate, what it would do is add rigidity to where if you're like me and running full bore through the stumps and you tag a stump,
that's right,
you're going to be okay. This plastic can only get so thick in the mold.
That's right.
And so you want to be able to add more. So you put it in. I love the you've got, these aren't called screw boss inserts.
Inserts. Yep.
Yeah. You've got inserts here that make it even better and easier to mount and take off if you need to take them off, you know, that kind of stuff.
And so when you mount that, you will mount it into 6 inserts, believe it or not. There are 2 more underneath the boss strap. Uh-huh. So you pull the boss strap off and then you'll add the plate and then you'll mount to the grab handle as well. So you're going to have 6 inserts holding it on up front.
Awesome.
And then the position for that is also strategically placed so that the XI3 lift lever is positioned over that front port.
Okay, let's explain these ports real quick. This is something, and this is something I love because, you know, I love to find ways to drill holes into a kayak where it doesn't screw up the kayak, and if I need to replace it, I can. So, you know, all my plugs go in the front hatch, but now we have this plate right here. So explain it.
Yep. So these are our electronics port system that we've developed this year. And what you see is a cover plate that has a gasket. It screws into the boat through inserts. So it's metal inserts. And then when you pop that off, you're going to have an oval hatch opening into the boat. And so you can drill that plate there. You can see it popped off and then the boat will be actually trimmed out there. So you'll have access to the inside of the boat through there.
Yeah. So this will be cut out. This little area right here. Yep.
Yep. So now you can mount stuff. You can mount your wires. You can run them through that plate, and that plate is replaceable. So we'll be able to, you know, we'll have those available online. So if you, maybe you mess one up, you can get a fresh one, but you don't have to drill your boat. You just drill the plate and you add your ports to it. And yep. What's really cool about that is that, that allows us to put these things around the boat, in all the strategic places. So we have one at the bow, we have one right behind the hatch, and then
right here.
Yep. And so that will allow you to route wires from either your pod or your crossbar. So you don't have to route stuff through the hatch anymore. Hatch is, you know, you use that for storage, but your wires are going into the boat, which is much, much better long term. So yep. You got two up front, then you have two under the seat. You have one behind the seat, which will allow you to run battery power into the boat. And then you have one on the side of the seat, which you can use as a switch panel. So we designed this plate so that it's sized so that those kind of standard toggle switches that, there are a lot of different ones that you can buy, but the standard marine toggle switches you can mount to that plate. So if you want to make a switch plate there, you can do that. But you've got access behind and beside the seat, for lights, as well as your live scope. If you want that to come out beside the seat, so you'll be able to rig that all beside the junk drawer there.
Yep.
And then we have one at the stern, which is going to be access for, you know, for us, for routing cables and things that gives us room to route stuff at the stern.
Let me sort through all my pictures that I've.
Sorry, I'm talking fast, and you're.
I'm like, where is it?
One of those.
Oh, it's this one.
Yeah, you can scroll it to the back.
Yep. So there's one in the back. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, that's so cool. And what I love about it too is those who got, when you get to the point where you want to sell it, you just order a few of these plates, pull all your gear off, and put plates down. You sell the boat like it, you know, like it never had holes in it.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff, which is cool. All right. Let's keep going down. The hatch.
Yeah. So by the way, that plate is set where the lever is for the XI3. So you could even run your pull cable for the XI3. I'm trying to think of the latch.
Yeah.
You can run your cable right down through there if you want to get it all inside the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the next thing, so the hatch, you can see the shape of it is fairly similar to what you've seen before. Excuse me. It's a wider hatch, and it's a little bit shorter because I've had to squeeze all the XI3 stuff into this thing. So this is a wider, slightly shorter hatch, but there are a couple things that are really pretty cool about it. One, it is a taller hatch, so you're going to have the ability to get more gear in underneath there. I don't know if you remember on the SS-127, we had grooves for rod tips.
Yep.
For rods to lay down. So I thought, look, you know, you end up using stuff like that so often. I went ahead and made the antler system. I call it the bullwinkle. But we will have a rod management system at the back of the hatch bolted on there that will allow you to set your rods down. And then down the middle will be this slot that you see for a catch board. What you see there is actually just a rendering.
Yeah, it's computer rendering, so it's going to be a little bit different.
Yeah, this stuff's still like kind of in play here, but the catch board will slide down the middle if you want. If that's where you want to store it. You can certainly have your rods. And then the cool thing is that antler system is also customizable too. So we'll see, we may do some different versions of stuff like that. So that, depending on how you want to use that area of the boat, you'll have some flexibility.
Yeah. So this bullwinkle system right here is removable.
That's right.
Yeah. So I won't use it because I'll have a bar across here holding my electronics and it's just not going to be, but it's, you know, so that the fact that I can take it off is going to be great because then it just doesn't get in the way and doesn't get snagged on stuff. So
exactly. Yeah. Yep. And then the hatch, inside the hatch is, that is an enormous cavity. So if you're storing, you know, extra gear for longer trips, or maybe you run rods inside, you can still do that. One of the accessories that we're going to work on here is we're going to do a computer board that mounts inside there. So if you're running your live scope and you need to mount your computer, you don't want it laying down in the hull of the boat, we'll have a mounting board that you can bolt up inside there and bolt your computer to it.
Nice. So it'll fit nice and snug in there, even though they got all the little turn, all the turns and bends in there. That's awesome.
That's right. Yeah.
And that's going to be after, that's not going to be come with it. That's going to be aftermarket, right?
That's an aftermarket.
Yeah. Yes. That's what I figured.
Okay. And then up front here too, I should point out that we have rod tip protectors that are right up front, and those are strategically placed so that if you are the type of angler that likes to set a rod down and maybe go through some brush or something like that, you can use these rod tip protectors, and it corresponds to your seat. Your seat will have seat hooks, like rod hooks on the seat. Or if you choose to, you know, to add more rod storage out to the side, those rod tip protectors are set up so that you can use them when you're setting your rod down.
Yeah. I swear you sent me a picture with a...
There's one in there.
I don't know why I can't find it.
Go to the second to the last one if you can. Go to that one. Let me see if that's...
It shows it pretty good. I'll go into that one.
Well, I guess you can't... Yeah, there's a... I thought there was a... I have one rendering that shows the rod.
Yeah, it shows it with a rod. Maybe I dropped it down here. Nope. I have no clue what happened to it. Who knows? Oh, well. Let me pull this one back up because I really like this one. Not because it has the XI3 on there. Well, kind of. But you can see that there's now you've got the rod protectors here.
Yep.
And then you got these little hooks on the side of the seat. Those are aftermarket, aren't they?
The hooks are going to come on the seat.
Oh, okay. They're going to come with it. Okay.
Yep. You can take them off if you don't. Yep. You know, if you don't like them, you can take them off. But they work with the rod tip protectors. As particularly, I like them for that kind of quick set down type thing.
Yeah.
And they will have a leash on them too, so they'll hold your rod in place.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Okay. All right. Let's keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess you ask away.
Okay. A couple of questions. There's several questions about the seat, and we'll get to that when we get over to the seat. I've been trying to, and it is an updated seat?
It is.
Okay. Yep. All right. We'll talk about that in a second then. Let's go with the dry pod.
Okay. Yeah. So this is a really interesting part of the boat. I had to do a lot of redesign in this area, try and figure out how to get all this to work. But you now have a lot more foot room open space in that area. And we still have the dry pod as the central sort of transducer area of the boat, because it works really well, particularly if you already have had a bona fide and your dry pod set up, it can drop right into this boat. So that's really nice. The dry pods will move, you know, it can move from an SS to an RVR to a power. So you've got the same setup, but you have more room in the power now. And because you have that that electronic support there, you also have some other options in that area. So like Gene, you had mentioned that you running a crossbar with monitors.
Yeah.
Now we're actually developing as an accessory a crossbar system. It will work with different boats, but it's going to work on the power, and that's you know, an early rendering of it. It's
it's not going to look like this.
Yeah, exactly. But it is going to work with, it's going to work with the Yak Attack lock and loads. And it's going to be able, you're going to be able to mount your monitors one or two on that. And then all your wiring can then run inside the hull through that electronics port. And then for transducers, if you don't need the dry pod, you can do this accessory plate. You can still mount transducers under that accessory plate and have everything fixed under there, and have it run, again, run up and into either into the boat or up to the crossbar. So you have the ability to really clean up that area if that's how you, that's how you'd like to see it happen, you know. Basically, you can have monitors on a crossbar, a couple of wires running down to your transducer, and then the only other thing in that space is going to be your foot, your footrest, your rudder steering. So yeah, it's going to be a nice clean space.
That's awesome. So how deep is the delete plate here?
It's a marine board plate. So okay. It's the half inch plate. I think what we're going to have to do, and this is the stuff that comes together as we launch.
Yeah.
So transparency here. You know, I think what we have to do, what we'll want to do is create a foam insert that goes under the delete plate.
Yeah, density foam.
Yep, high density foam. It'll be shaped to the scupper. So that way, if you really want that, like, you know, uber clean flow under there, you can get that.
And that'll increase the speed a little bit.
It will. It just quiets stuff down. Obviously, anytime you're telling the water to keep on moving, you know, it helps. So,
yeah.
So that's a really neat way to do it. It'll be a really clean setup. And man, you want to talk about like having some room to walk around. I can't wait to do this.
You skinny people, I'm not going to be walking around on it. I'll keep my feet pretty much still. So how is the hull itself, or is the cockpit itself deeper?
It is deeper. And the cockpit area is it's deeper for several reasons. One, overall, the deck sits higher above the waterline. So that's where we get a little bit more capacity out of this boat. And then the other thing that's all new for this thing is that I have been for the past few years playing around with angled foot braces in relationship to the seating system. So what I did in this boat, after I've tested them out on a bunch of different setups and things, is I've tilted the foot braces down by about, I think it's like 10 or 12 degrees down. And that puts the foot brace more in line with your natural pedal push. So it makes the foot brace push a little bit more like a gas pedal, kind of like, you know, a little bit more like your car,
mm-hmm.
But it makes your foot action much easier. And that I believe that makes the steering for this even better, even more comfortable, you know, more intuitive.
Yep.
And in order to do that, the reason I say all that, in order to do that, the boat's got to be a little deeper so that the foot braces have room, your foot has room to do it.
Yep. So one of my requirements was, if we're going to have a rudder, it needs to be a steering rudder.
That's right.
Because my favorite way to fish is to put that XI3 down, put it on four or five, let it go, and then steer with the rudder in the back with my foot, with my feet. That way I get more cast in per day, and more cast equals more fish. And so that's one of the things, the pedals are going to be steerable. Let me see if I can zoom in right here and I'll show you guys. I know it's going to be really grainy, but the steering cables go through this little port right here. And they run out, and back here is your rudder. And yep. So if I open up this picture right here, nope, that's not a good one. It's going to be this one. You can see the rudder back here, and it's the one that's on the P127 and and the native boat. So it's mm-hmm. It's a tried and true thing. And the thing I like is that if you're going to put a stern mounted motor, like a Newport or a Torquedo, all you do is unhook these steering cables and hook it up to the motor, and you're steering your motor in the back.
Yes.
Plain
yes.
and simple. And then you can either get rid of this or just tuck it up.
Yep.
So,
and in the power hole, it is designed so that when you pull the rudder up, it is up and out of the way, and it doesn't do a lot to really impede flow. So that's kind of new as well. But having the foot steering, early on, like you had been telling me, this is how I want to use my boat, and this is how I like it. And it made a lot of sense to me because, foot steering is truly hands-free fishing.
Right.
And so that makes a lot of sense for whether you're running a Torquedo at the back or an XI3 at the front. You can really get more casts out of fishing that way. And when you told me the first time you told me that you were like, no, I just set my motor in and then I steer from the stern. I'm like, oh, yeah. I was like, wait, I had to get out my notebook and like write that. Jim Jensen says, but that was what kicked off this thing where I was like, could we do this and make sense for any buyer that buys this boat? But what makes sense to me is that even if you paddle this boat, a lot of times people like to have foot steering. They want that boat to come around faster. If they're in windy conditions, they want that boat to lock. So yep. Having an integrated rudder, it just makes sense.
It's so nice. Like my battery went dead a couple days ago, and I had a good, it was when that hurricane was about to hit Florida. And so we had a little bit of a good wind up in North Georgia, and I was paddling into the wind, and the way it was coming around the mountain, part of the way it was right straight into me. And the other time it was off to my coming off quarter to me, and being able to just steer that rudder on my SS, steer that rudder to where it kept me straight. I just paddled. I didn't worry about correction or anything else. So,
and what's nice about that too is that if you are maybe the wind's pushing you into a tight space where you're going to fish it and then you're going to move around and get back out.
Yep.
That rudder's just going to help you maneuver back out.
Yes. Faster. And then we'll go back to the hole design with the hole design you have on this one. It's going to turn really, really nice.
That's right.
You know, that's been my biggest complaint is I've always wanted a bigger, wider rudder for the SS because it does not turn really, really nice.
Right. You know? Exactly. Well, if you like how the RVR turns, I'm not going to say that this boat's going to turn like the RVR because that's also got some other things going on with river dynamics. But if you like that pivot ability, this is going to be more a marriage of that. It's going to have a little more pivot to it.
I think it's going to be like halfway between the SS and the RVR.
That's right.
You know, it's just going to turn better, way better than the SS.
That's right.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's still going to have the SS stability, but it's going to be more dynamic when you go to turn it.
Yep. So I want you guys that are listening to pay attention to the details of this next little area on the boat right here.
Yep.
It's really, I'm like, this is what wowed me when he told me about it. This is the kind of junk that this man thinks about. There you go.
Well, yeah. So I've been experimenting with some different ways to lift motors. And this is definitely getting into the sort of the DIY zone of things. So this is leaving the door open for you guys to like do it your way, let's say. But those angles that Gene is pointing to are surfaces that you can mount, that you can port lift lines from and to. So if for me, like if I rig a Torquedo, I've been running a line through the boat, up forward to the bow, to a pulley. This is all inside the boat, hits a pulley, and then comes back to me. That makes the lift forces less, and then I'll have the line popping out on that surface that's right in front of me, so that when I'm throttling along, I can reach down and grab that lever, that lift line, and just ease the motor up as I'm moving through shallow water and stuff. So those are surfaces that there are a couple different accessory gadgets, like Harkin pulleys, Harkin cleats. We have this part in the Bonafide lineup that allows you to pull a rudder line up over a cam surface. You can add some of those kinds of accessories there and make it lift the way you want it to lift.
Yeah.
If you're lifting an XI3 gene, you can set it up that way so your lift line comes out and
line will come out right here. I already tell you it's going to come out right on that face.
Yeah.
So that's
awesome. Those are sort of leaving the door open for rigability.
Yep. Yep. All right. The seat.
Yeah. Okay. So the seat, a couple of things that I want to mention: the high-rise seat that we have on the SS is super comfortable, and it sits at a height where you can pop to your feet really easily. It's great for all-day fishing. So what I did was I wanted to make sure that we kept that comfort, but I also listened to a lot of you who said, hey, it's not quite wide enough for me. So this seat is the high-rise seat, but I have widened it by a couple inches.
Did you hear that, Chad?
It is wider by a couple of inches, and it is the same height. And then it has a high-low position, so it still is a high-low. You can drop it down if you're out in some crazy stuff and you want to drop that thing down and scoot, or high winds, you can drop it down to a low position. But it has a new attachment mechanism, which is going to be a lot more simplified. And what that really does is those are lock knobs that rotate over the bar. So whether you're in the high position or low position, you fold the seat up and you drop it down and it lands in there and you lock the knob over. But what's really cool about that is that I was able to save room around the seat for other things. So the previous seat mechanism that was on the SS, it was bulky and it caused the seat to move back and forth a lot when you went to different positions. So now the seat goes high to low, it doesn't move back and forth as much, and which means that the foot brace position is much better on this new boat. And so the high to low seat is now, you have more room around it. You still have the junk drawer underneath it. And then we're redesigning the padding for it as well. And I'm still in the process of that, but it's pretty cool. We're gonna get a little bit more padding out of the seat system. Same materials, we're just adding padding to it. So should be really comfortable right out of the box.
So a question. So is the height from here to the deck a little bit, since the cockpit's deeper, is it still 10 inches or is it going to be
more? I measured it the other day. I'd say it's more like maybe 11, 12.
It'd be easier to stand up. That's right. Down. Yeah. Even easier in the SS, which is incredible. That was my selling point at shows when I was at consumer shows, where people would come up and say, all right, sit down in the seat, for the SS. Now stand up without touching anything and you can do it. Now sit down without, and that's what I explain to people is when you're hooked into a big fish standing and you've got to sit down, if you've got to flop into your seat, you're going to lose tension on your line and risk losing your fish. If you can just sit down like you're sitting in a lawn chair, like you can on the SS, you're not going to lose that fish. Yep. And so that's so critical. Dang, I can't wait for that. That's going to be great.
It's a great seat. I'm working on it now, making sure that, all the components are coming out right. But it'll have the rod hooks on it. as well. So, you know, all that convenience will be right there.
Yep. Shane Garza, you just joined us. He says, yes, it's just a new boat. Yes, it's called the PWR 129. It was just announced yesterday that it's coming out in November. So, anyway. All right. So, here we go. We're at the seat. I want to talk about some of the anchor points.
Yep.
Let me pull up this one.
Yeah, that's a good.
Yep.
It's a good image.
All right. So we're going to go about right in this section. There we go.
Okay. So there will be multiple rigging plates is what I've been calling them. They're basically accessory plates that you can add to this boat. So if you have a specific setup, you know, Gene, you're going to be using the sniper system. Yep. Yep. You have a specific system for running a live scope type setup. You know, if you want to put it beside the seat, this is your spot. Underneath that plate is gear track. So you can go with the gear track as well. But what I did here is I've made it so that you have multiple ways of setting up your rod holders, scope mounts, and all of those things beside the seat. And that plate is mounted by three inserts. So, you know, again, leaving the door open here for aftermarket sort of DIY or for accessory companies, if they want to make tool holders that go there, you know, managing your paddle in a different way or a parking pole, all of those things could be managed all along the side of the seat much better now because there's so much room there. I kind of cleared out that space. So you have a lot of room to be able to mount stuff. There are actually 20, I counted it up the other day. I just said like 26 insert mounting points on this boat that are just there just to mount stuff. There's 120, it's like 125 inches of gear track on this boat or something. It's insane. So there's a lot of room to sort of set that stuff up. And then if you see, you can kind of see that insert right beside the seat. That is designed to work with the lock and load base from Yak Attack. But it's also just a mounting insert. So if you want to run a throttle, right there or, any of your accessories, that's just a prime spot. And so I went ahead and added that in that space. So you'd have it right beside your seat.
And that'll be where I put my sniper pole. Cause I like mine a little behind my knee, you know, that in that area. So that's exactly where I'll put my parking pole. That's cool.
Yep.
That's cool. All right. Let me get rid of this one. Let's drop the one without the seat in. Let's see, remember which one it was. This one right here. I think, yep. All right. So behind the seat.
Yes. Yep. So we're looking at perhaps adding a little bit of deck padding back there too.
Yeah.
Just to kind of quiet things down. But this is sized. So now the tank well is set to be, it's a little bit higher than previous boats. And that allows your gear to sit a little bit closer for your reach. So if you turn around and reach back into your crate, it's a little bit closer to you. But also this tank well is much larger. You have a forward section where you could fit up to, I think it's the 100 amp hour Dakota Lithium battery. You can kind of see one sitting in there. And then I have it set up so that you could get, you can squeeze a 13 by 13 plus a 16 by 16 black pack in the back. So if you just have to bring the kitchen sink like Gene does, then
I do not use two black packs.
You know, it's sort of there so that if you want to do it, there's a lot of volume there that the stern tank well has been structured to handle the weight. So you can have it back there. And then I added a gear track at the back so that if you have one of the larger batteries, you can add a Yak Attack, one of their tie down tie down systems back there, and you can actually tie the battery down to the boat, so it's not,
yep,
it's not just a loose
battery. A simple strap running from here over the battery and through this little loop right here.
That's right.
Yep. Would strap your battery down, which is nice, because that means, because I only trailer 10 minutes down the road, it's nice for me where I can just leave it. I don't have to take it out of the boat,
right,
to get down the road. That's nice. That's nice. All right, rod holders.
Yep, rod holders. These are flush mounts. You know, they're there when you need them.
Is the boat going to come with them?
It is.
Dang it.
Yeah, so we, you know, you know, these are things that some people love them, some people hate them.
Yep.
But maybe we'll maybe I'll just do a little special edition 3D print cap for people that we can source it out, so we'll 3D print them out.
Yeah. A little delete plate. Yeah. And, yep, and I think they're great for some people. I just don't use them, you know, right. And so for me, I would want to get rid of it, mainly because they hold water. And if I'm not going to use them, it's just me. What are these two? What do they call these?
Those are deck loops.
Yeah.
Will work with the back of the seat. So we'll have, it's not shown here, but we'll have a clip system back there that holds the seat down at the back for you.
Yep, that makes sense. That makes sense. All right. This beside the seat. Hold on. Let me see if I can find the right one. I think it's going to be this one. Yep, this one. So what about this little area right here? So you got the seat that sits right here, yep, and this area right here.
Yeah, so that is just your catch-all. You can use it as a 3600 Plano pocket, or just a spot to throw lures. Just, it's so nice on, you know, over the years, it just seems like it's really nice to have a spot on the boat where stuff goes if you just need to set stuff down quickly. So that is a slot or a pocket, just to throw your extra, you know, scent, you know, bait scent, or, you know, hooks and lures, and slide a Plano in there if you want to do it. So
tools. Yep.
That's a really nice spot.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. All right. Trying to think if there's anything else we wanted to.
And then the other thing to note too, is that at the tank well, we do have the gear track that are set up for the Sidekick system.
Yep.
And so that's going to be really nice, because you've got plenty of room to rig up the tracks for other things, but you can put that Sidekick system right up towards the front, and then you've got wheels for your boat.
Yeah. So if you guys don't know what the Sidekick system is, it's the wheels that stay on the boat, and you just rotate them up or drop them back down. So
yeah, you've got some track at the back. You know, if you run a flag or a light pole, some things like that. The torpedo mounts up at the back, directly to the to that plate, or the top part, the top landing, or the power pole. I think on the power pole we might have to add a plate for the power pole to land just right. But if you want to run, a lot of times you'll run a torpedo at the back, and then you'll run a power pole to the side. Yep. So you can run that stuff at the back there too.
So here's a good question. What does the rear tank well have any scuppers?
It does. Yeah. You can't see them, but they're sitting just under the seat there.
They're right here and right here. Yeah. Okay. I can see a little bit of one. So
so that rear tank well, you can't see it in these pictures, but it is tilted. It's tilted from the back of the boat towards the seat. Mm-hmm. So the water is going to funnel to those forward scuppers, but it also tilts your black pack towards you. So when you go to reach in it, it's easier to get to your stuff.
Yep. And then Duke asked, what are these plates right here? These are aftermarket plates, just accessory plates and stuff like that.
That's right. Yeah.
So get your brain working, Duke. Come on, bro. I know you. Oh, let's see. All right.
Well, I've gotten some questions on the transducer side of things.
Yeah, okay.
I guess we definitely talked about that, but I just wanted to mention that, you know, there is a transducer pocket underneath there where you'll be able to mount your transducers. You know, and then obviously the live scope, that'll be something that you drop in from the side.
Yeah.
But there is a pocket where you can either run it on the tripod or under that a plate, an accessory plate, if you add it there.
Yeah, this is the pocket right here under the boat.
Correct.
Yep. Okay. All right. I'm going to skim for some questions. Website says paddle, pedal, or motorized. Will this accept a pedal drive?
No. I think we fixed that, but yeah, that was
an oops.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, as soon as I found out, everybody got a text message really, really quick. So yeah, I think that's been fixed. Let's see. All right, going up. Look, if you guys have any questions, go ahead and ask them. Let's see. Does that mean that the track is supported by a brace on the side? Gramps, probably talking about what are the wheels? My mind just went blank.
Sidekick wheels?
Yeah, Sidekick wheels.
Yeah, the track is independent. So the way the Sidekick works is that there's, you know, that whole crossbar links those two tracks to each other.
Yep.
So when you install it, it all becomes one thing.
Yeah, and it doesn't look like it's going to be solid, but I installed one on a native a couple weeks ago, and it is solid as a rock. I mean, you just, yeah, the bar that runs between the mounting plate here and the mounting block here and the mounting block here ties it all together and makes it solid as a rock. And yeah, so it, and these are made to where they're not going to pull out. That's why.
Yeah. Those are the tracks that are specific for the Sidekick.
Yep.
You don't want to put the Sidekick on just any track system. But those are designed for it.
Yep. How much is it going to cost?
$1,899.
So $1,899. What's the weight going to be?
So right now we're in the guessing game, like the guessing phase. My educated guess is that all in, it'll be around 100 pounds, 100 to 105. And I'm not trying to, that's not a sandbagging weight. I mean, that's what I think it will be. Yep. So seat off, you know, I'll say 75, 80, something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Something like that.
Will they be able to store rods inside the front hatch?
Yes.
Yes. Good. Good, good, good. Let's see. I'm just going through the questions right now. Trying to find something. Already asked that one. Should I sell my old town and purchase this boat when it comes out? Just saying.
Yes.
Let's see. Are the side plates level?
Not to the world, no.
What does that mean?
That's what I always say. That. So the side plates have, they are, as much as rotomolding can do, they are level, like across each other.
Mm-hmm.
They have a slight back angle to them.
Yeah, I see. You can kind of see it here.
Yeah, yeah. So there's, so no, they're not completely level, maybe a degree or so out.
Yep. I'm still going through. Somebody says that Josh Tatum says it's a 127 killer. I don't think so. I mean, yeah, I think it'll have have an impact. But I mean, how long, many years has the 127 been out?
You know? Yeah, it's we're going into 6 years or so, or that the 127's been out, I think. So,
yep.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the 127 is a it continues to be a really great model. This is definitely going all in on some things. So, you know, we'll see how we do with the 127 and if we carry it forward in the end.
Yep. What colors are they going to be?
So we're doing the steel, the blue, the steel color here.
Yeah. This color.
Yep. We're going to do Top Gun gray, and then we're doing camo.
Camo and red, right? Red?
maybe.
That was a big no. There's a few people that have been asking about red, not just me.
I know. Maybe if we do, can we do an Auburn orange?
No, not at all. Oh, let's see. I'm going way up in the questions and making sure. Are there any plans for a hatch bucket?
Yes.
That won't be hard to do.
It wouldn't be hard. I left a space in there for a hatch bucket, and I haven't done one yet, but what I want to do is get feedback from everybody on that. There are two things about the hatch. One is the hatch bucket and what functionality it should be. And the other thing is that I intentionally built the hatch a little bit taller so that I'd like to do a hatch net system so you can store stuff in the top side of the hatch. So when you open it, you can, when you walk up to the front of your boat, you can flip it open and grab stuff out of the net. So,
yep.
That was.
Let's see. I think we've covered most of it.
Trying to think if there's anything else that.
What's the width on it? 34 inches or 30?
35.
35 inches.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's not bad. So that you would still want a fairly long paddle.
Yeah. Especially with the height of the seat, the depth of the boat, you'll want a fairly long paddle for it. The foot braces are, if you remember, if you have paddled an SS 107 or 127, the foot braces are fairly far away from you. That has to do with the way that the seat went from high to low. So on this boat, the foot braces are pulled back. So, you know, I'm not super tall, so I can, this puts it more neutral to someone in my height range of 5'8", 5'9".
Yeah. And one of the questions that came up when the pro staff was looking at this is this gear track right here is also further back than the SS. So it's on the SS, it runs from about right here up to about right there.
Yeah.
And so it's been dropped back probably 7 inches, which is great. Cause then I can put my crossbar with my transducer right across here. So I don't have to lean forward and play it. Cause I'm always hitting buttons on my fish finders.
Yeah.
So I can run that there. And then the pedals are closer too. So that's awesome for us short legged people. So, all right. Any more questions? Anything that we didn't cover that you guys are wondering about?
I think if there's any.
You know, one of the things I like about this little area right here is it's so wide. You know, when you take an anchor wizard and put it down, if you don't have a wide base around your gear track, it wobbles when you crank it. And I would put stuff underneath it to keep that from happening. But with this being a flush mount and having plenty of space and even putting that, you know, putting the plates that you've seen around there, an anchor wizard would be perfect. And I know Chad puts his way the heck up here for some reason, but I like mine right around my right hand right here in this area. So
makes a lot of sense to have one back in that area too.
Yeah. Yeah. Now what's this little groove right here? Is this going away?
So that's a groove so that if you are running a plate and you want to mount something on the plate, you can have a nut underneath there. You have room for a nut to float underneath there.
Oh, okay. I see. So the T nut or the T bolt.
The T bolt, or yeah. If you run a screw down through there, you can always run a plate, run a nut on the backside and set it down.
That's nice. So if you're doing a DIY, you don't have to countersink crap. It's already there.
Exactly.
Dude, yeah. That's freaking nuts. That's awesome.
And then the other side of the plate that hangs off the boat, obviously you can hang stuff down on the outside of it. So you got some room to mount whatever you want there.
Yeah. Dude, I've got an idea for a plate right here, but we'll talk about that off.
Exactly. Oh, well, the other thing too is I'm trying to kind of hit a moving target with some of the stuff that's coming out. So, whether it's, Yak Attack they're working on their wand for a live scope, all that kind of stuff. I'm trying to make sure that we're hitting that stuff as new as it, making sure that things mounts fit up. So that's another advantage of these rigging plates is that as things change, you can change those rigging plates out and make them fit.
All right. So here's a question that's really important to me. What do you think will be the weight capacity of the kayak?
What I'll say is 500 pounds is the weight at which I believe the boat's performance starts to diminish.
Yeah. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
So that includes boat plus paddler plus gear. So think about it.
I'm way past that on the SS. I mean, it's.
Yeah, you're right. Now, I will say, what's interesting is I hear all sorts of things about that, but it is interesting that like the more the boat goes down in the water, the performance really changes quite a bit. And so it doesn't mean that it necessarily diminishes all the way. It's just. That's when I say like, okay, you need to start thinking about scupper plugs. You need to be thinking about, is this thing what I need? Do I need to lighten my load? So 500 pounds is where it's at. In reality, it may be higher than that, but I'm not saying it right now.
So Hans, when I get in my SS, the water level is level with the top of the scupper holes.
Well, one thing that you'll see in this boat that's kind of cool is I have been experimenting with this thing where I'm making overflow channels work. And so I did that on the skiff and it works really well. So this boat actually has, I don't know what you'd call it, but basically the water can flex up into a channel and before it spills out into the floorboard. And so that seems to work really well. So this actually has it on there, both in the tank well and in the foot well.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yes, Mr. Gambit, this is for big butts. Even the seat's wider if you've missed that. So yeah, it'd be good for us big people and small people. It'd be great. So, but Paco wants to put a refrigerator in it. Where can he mount that? In the tank well.
Weight distribution in this design is going to be pretty good. So tank well should work.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. I cannot wait to get in it and paddle it around. One of the things we're going to do, and I don't know if I should let the cat out of the bag, but they're going to let me rig one before they come out so we can kind of mess around and tweak things, which is really cool. So we're still at the point where we can tweak a little bit of the mold and that kind of stuff to make things work right. So we're going to take it down to Westbrook Supply, some of the best riggers in the business. And me and him and Fletch and Mikey are going to sit down and rig one up and see what works and what doesn't work. And that's what I love about Bonafide is they want, and especially Hans, you're such a stinking perfectionist that you want to make sure everything is good. So we get a chance to play around with it before everything's final. So,
well, I appreciate too that you guys get involved in this stuff because it just helps. It helps me make stuff that works better. So.
Yeah. I mean, because you can't be out there all the time, and you don't fish the same way we do, you know. And everybody's, the thing I love about fishing is everybody does it different. And what we've tried to do with this kayak in particular is make it to where it's very riggable for the most number of people. You can do it any way you want to do it. And with these plates, if you screw up, you just order a new plate and you plop it on there and do it the way you want to. You know, you're not drilling holes in your boat that are going to, you know, that are, you're going to have to plug that hole.
And I love the fact that this boat at $18.99, you add, if you add a motor kit to it, you're still at a price point that's below some of the competitor boats.
Yeah.
Where you're stuck with a very specific way of using it. And you still have this in this system, you really have a lot of flexibility in how you want to use it. And you're going to have just, I can't wait to get this thing out and test the range and the efficiency of it. So this is going to be a lot of fun. I think you're going to have a lot of freedom with this boat in rigging it and getting out in tournaments. Draining, you're not going to be draining batteries as much. So it's going to be a great tournament machine. It's going to be a great, if you're just going to get one boat, this is the one.
Yep. And like we said at the beginning, what I love about it is it paddles really, really, it's going to paddle really well. It's going to, what I would do. So if I go out to Gunnersville and fish mats, I may not even have the motor on there, you know? But if I do, I'll stow the XI3 and it'll slide right up over top of the mats and paddle, you know, a lot better than my SS. I promise you that.
The cool thing is I get to watch people use these different types of boats, and I get to learn something each time.
Yep.
And when I find out all the different ways, you know, it helps me sort of incorporate that stuff into the newer stuff. So,
yep. Another thing I like is I like how it's going to shed water around the hatch.
Yeah.
So I got a question that makes me think of a question. I'm going to find the picture first before we do that. Yep. This one. So the lip that's actually on the boat, is it going to be higher? Is the hatch going to fit over top of a higher lip?
Correct.
To prevent a lot of water from coming in. I love, and that was my biggest worry because, you know, the SS is good, but it's not great. You get a wake over top of the bow, or, you know, you get good waves and stuff. It'll take on water, not a lot, but it'll still take on water.
Yep. And yeah. The gasket, the way the gasket's done on this hatch is similar, but I've actually changed the way the hinges work so that you get a much better gasket seal going around it.
Mm-hmm.
And the wall is taller inside. So if you take water over the bow, it's going to shed away. And then if you get a lot of it, maybe you leave your boat out in the rain and it's tilted down or something like that, it has to climb a really tall wall to get over all that stuff.
That's nice.
And so it should be a better, drier system, you know, for a front hatch. It's always hard to, the bigger the hatch, the harder it is to seal. And, you know, that's just part of the game, but, you know, this one should be really easy to use and give you a lot of space.
That's huge for me. Cause I've put a lot of water in the boat on rough days. Cause I'll be out there as crazy as it is, especially with motors. You're going to hit waves a lot different than if you're paddling or pedaling. And so,
yeah. And one thing you can't see it, or you can't quite see it in these renderings, but if you saw the mold, you'd be like, holy cow. this boat is the capacity is shifted in this hull. So you're going to have a boat that moves up over waves differently than the SS does. So, it's going to take, if you're in the big rollers, maybe you stayed out too long and a thunderstorm hit or whatever, if you're in those kinds of conditions, this boat's going to handle that stuff better. It's going to push up over it, and it's going to also pivot in the troughs better too. So there's some pretty nice things there that are going to make you feel better if you do end up out in a little bit larger wave conditions.
All right, so let's talk about the schedule. So you're going to break the mold in over the next month or two.
Yeah, we got about 2 months here where we're headed down the stretch to finish up the development of it, get everything, make sure everything's working right, and be ready to ship by 1st of November. So everything's lining up well, so it's looking good. Just got a lot to do.
Yep. Got a real quick question. How is it for hole slap?
Hole slap should be good. If you're referencing I don't know which boats maybe you've been in, but the water line on this thing is very nicely wedged. So I don't know if that means anything to you, but it should be good.
Awesome. Awesome. What is the pitch of the boat?
The pitch trim?
I guess the trim. Yeah.
Is a percentage of seat. I'm not sure how to answer that.
Yeah. Without getting all nerdy.
Yeah. But it is, it's actually a little bit more seat forward. So that's going to be that helps efficiency. So,
yep. And you know, it's going to sit further out of the water than what you've seen with the SS. So it's going to have a little bit more height out of the water. So it's going to catch the wind a little bit more, but you're motorizing it, you know? And if you're going to paddle it, then make sure you use the rudder. And that'll keep the butt end from swinging around. It'll keep it tracking well. It'll really help with the tracking. And being that it's an integrated rudder now, one thing I would make sure you guys understand, and this goes along with you guys that run natives and that kind of stuff, make sure you stow that rudder before you go loading it onto a trailer or dragging it along the ground and that kind of stuff. Are you going to be able to drag this hull? Because I know some of them can't.
It has a twin skid plate stern. I didn't really touch on that. But it has if you go ashore and you got to get it up a bank or something like that, it has twin skid plates at the stern. Those are replaceable. So if you just have to get it across a parking lot or something like that, you can drag that thing. But when the rudder stows, it is up inside the pontoons.
Yep.
So that helps with efficiency, but it also keeps it out of the way.
So right here, the base of the pontoons are go further down than the rudder when it's stowed.
Okay. Correct. Yeah.
All right. So they protect the rudder itself. That's good. Cause I know with like one of the natives, you just have to be really, really careful and have to make sure that you're not, that's why you put the wheels on it anyways, to keep that from happening.
Yeah.
So, okay. Cool. Let's see. I think that's it for questions, man. Are those standing platforms next to the seat? No, no more perch pads.
You can put pads on there if you want to.
Do you remember what I said, what I told you when I learned about the perch pads? I said, I am not a gymnast.
And I'm sure I was like, well, Gene, that's okay.
Yeah, I didn't mind. I found other things to do with that space. That's for sure.
It was really fun though when we were doing that boat, because you could literally stand on the seat. You know, the stability was such, if you wanted to, you could stand on the seat and sight fish. You know.
Yep.
And I was actually out on the skiff the other day, and I did it just to see what it would be like, and then I put a cooler on the skiff and stood on the cooler, you know, just to see. But you can stay, you can definitely stand up pretty high on these boats. But you know, the way we fish now, obviously, you know, you don't need to do that. But
right.
But Yeah, you can do it if you want to.
Man, I am so excited about this boat. It's not, and I know it's made waves on the internet and everything else, but dude, it's almost, I'm sure we'll find something we didn't think about, but I feel like we thought we put everything we thought about in here.
Absolutely. You know? I always have to, you know, dial things back here and there, but I think we were able to really pull this one together. And you know, the way that I design stuff too, it's, I'm always like, is that too much? I don't know. Let's do it.
So let's do it. Who cares? We'll figure it out.
But yeah, it's been a good process. I definitely appreciate your feedback and the Bonafide team, all their feedback, you know, Dave, Barry, Lance, all those guys have all been really good. You know, just giving feedback. So it's been awesome.
That's awesome, man. That is awesome. So one of my good friends from Augusta, he's a really big dude, David Fields. He says that he wants a fat guy boat. So our next boat's going to be a fat guy boat made for David Fields.
All right.
He's a big dude. One of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. He's just a big dude. And yep. I still have yet to be able. I'm gonna take several kayaks to him and make him get in him and see if we can knock him out. So
see if we can do it.
Yeah, yep. That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. The weight of the hull, Jeremy, is what, 70?
With the hull, be around
here, but
it'd probably be around 70 pounds or so.
Yeah, yeah. Like that. So very cool. All right. Well, guys, let me get everything. Let me pull this off of here, pull this to there. That's good. Well, like I said, Hans, thanks, man. I appreciate the time. I'm glad we were able to do this. I hope you guys enjoyed it. If you have any questions, go to the official Bonafide's Facebook page, ask questions there. Like I said, this boat's not going to be out, hit the market till the first part of November. So go to your local paddle shops like Westbrook and go ahead and get you, if you want one, get on the list. A lot of these paddle shops take early orders and get on the list. And that way they know what to order and what to get from these guys. And come wintertime, we're going to get the guys working the molds and the ovens at Big Adventures working hard. That's for sure. So how many inserts before they mold?
What's that?
How many inserts do they have to install before they mold it?
It's a lot. And yeah. I feel like I should probably be taking them donuts out there. I'm sorry, guys. You guys have to make this boat.
Yeah. So, all right, brother. Well, guys, like I always say, be sure to introduce somebody to fishing. Introduce them to my channel. Let me help you teach them how to fish. More importantly, get out of the water, go out and catch some fish, and have a great day. We'll see you.